From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, good afternoon, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. Two members of Anchorage Mayor Dave Bronson's administration have tested positive for COVID-19, prompting Anchorage Assembly leadership to cancel tonight's meeting. The Bronson administration told the Assembly today that all members present at last night's meeting have come into, quote, really close contact with the two individuals who tested positive. The Assembly and Bronson administration have not named the two city employees, but both of them were vaccinated, according to the mayor's spokesman. The positive COVID-19 cases come as the state is entrenched in one of the nation's worst COVID-19 outbreaks, and as the Anchorage Assembly continues to hear days of combative public testimony about a proposed mask mandate. Thursday's meeting was the sixth day of comments. Hundreds of people have participated in recent meetings. On Thursday, many of the attendees were children too young to be vaccinated who did not wear masks and brought to testify against the proposed mask ordinance. Today, state health officials reported 25 new cases of COVID-19 among Juneau residents. Juneau health officials say there are currently about 121 active cases. The Juneau School District reported 11 people who tested positive for COVID-19 and were contagious while in school. Three at Setita Shatchanok Glacier Valley School. Three classes are quarantined there as a result. Two at Juneau Douglas High School, Yada'at Katle, where no classes are quarantined. One at Thunder Mountain High School, where no classes are quarantined. And two at Riverbend Elementary School, where one class is quarantined. Two at Montessori Borealis, where one class is quarantined, and one at Auk Bay Elementary. No classes are quarantined there. There are currently three people being treated for COVID-19 at Bartlett Regional Hospital. Statewide, 839 new cases of COVID-19 and two recent deaths. So far, 570 Alaskans have died of COVID-19. Alaska hospitals are seeing an intense surge of COVID-19 patients, and that's stressing doctors and staff. So far, they haven't been stretched by coronavirus cases in children and babies, but some of Alaska's pediatricians are worried that could change as we head into the winter season of respiratory viruses. Nat Herz with Alaska Public Media reports.
Last year, as Alaskans braced for a COVID-19 surge that could stress the state's medical system, things were oddly quiet at the unit at the Anchorage Native Hospital where Dr. Matt Hirschfeld works. That's because he works in pediatrics with kids.
Flu and stuff kind of disappeared out of the state with all the mask mandates. And, you know, our pediatric intensive care unit doctors were offering their services to the adult ICU.
Flu and another respiratory virus called RSV can fill up Alaska's pediatric ICUs during normal times. And now that kids are back at school and Alaskans are taking fewer precautions, doctors are worried that cases could rebound sharply. Then there's the added layer of COVID. While it doesn't hit kids as hard, it can still send them to the hospital, and it can also pull staff away from pediatrics to care for sick adults. And that uncertainty is causing substantial anxiety among the state's pediatricians. Hirschfeld says only two hospitals in Anchorage and one in Fairbanks have much in the way of capacity for kids.
Bethel does a little bit and Alaska Regional does a little bit. But we, you know, like everything else, we just don't have a lot of capacity to take on a huge surge if that happens.
Alaska's small network of hospital pediatricians has already gotten pretty creative at managing that limited capacity. Sometimes they take the unusual step of actually medevacing kids from Anchorage to lower levels of care to make room at the hospitals with ICUs. During one particularly bad surge of respiratory virus on the North Slope, stressed Anchorage hospitals sent specialists to the region to train caregivers on treatments so that fewer kids would have to be transferred to Anchorage. Dr. Michelle Nace is a Fairbanks pediatrician who also works with the state health department.
There's a level of always wanting to take care of the kids, always trying to find a way, how do we meet this kid's needs, but know that there might need to be a little shuffling and figuring out where can we meet that kid's needs the best.
The coronavirus adds an extra layer of uncertainty to that already fragile system. Not only are some of the pediatric workers being reassigned to adult COVID patients, there's also not a lot of room for transfers to hospitals outside Alaska, which can normally be a relief valve. Here's Nace again.
COVID is a big unknown, and you've seen it in the lower 48, that some of those hospitals and those pediatric ICUs have been overwhelmed and had to find other places for those kids to go.
Doctors say they think they'll be able to handle a surge in sick kids if it comes, But NACE says they're also not totally sure what to expect.
What concerns us with this upcoming season is we already have so many COVID and we even haven't hit the peak or the entrance to our flu and RSV season. So it's like a storm and we just don't know how bad it is because we don't know how to predict it, just like the weather.
The difference between this situation and the weather, though, is that Alaskans can actually help determine what happens.
It's just stone cold simple.
Dr. Rob Loverich cares for kids in Anchorage ICUs.
If it's possible to divorce yourself from politics for a moment and listen to the message, it is simply this. Kids get vaccines all the time.
Anyone older than 6 months can get the flu shot, which can help keep kids out of the hospital. And the more family members already eligible for the coronavirus vaccine get those shots, the less likely those viruses will infect children or infants who can't get the vaccine quite yet. Federal regulators are also likely to approve the COVID vaccine for children 5 to 11 in a matter of weeks. Overall, Loverich says the shots are essential.
To have a self-inflicted respiratory catastrophe, I mean, when we've had months and months and months to prepare and see it coming, it would just be unimaginable. The solution is right there. It's hanging right in front of us.
Kids are already starting to show up to hospitals with respiratory viruses, Loverich says, but most cases tend to arrive starting around January, so it will likely be months before pediatricians know how bad things will get. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
Next week, Sea Alaska Heritage and Tlingit and Haida will offer free classes for anyone who's interested in becoming a Native Youth Olympics coach. The organizations are based in Juneau, but anyone with internet access can sign up because for the second year in a row, the training is virtual. Juneau resident Kyle Worrell has been coaching the Native Youth Olympics for 4 years. He says the games are based on hunting and survival skills that allowed the Inupiaq people to live in Arctic conditions, like the one-foot high kick.
Which is a high jump where you kick a suspended sealskin ball target. And it was used long ago, not only as a game, but also as a form of communication across the tundra. So a high kick could signal a successful or unsuccessful hunt.
There's also a seal hop, which is based on a technique used to sneak up on seals laying out on the ice. And Alaska isn't the only place where the games are played. Worrell says they reach as far as Canada, Greenland, and Russia.
But in other places, they'll refer to it as Inuit games or Arctic sports. So they're games that draw origins really from across the Arctic.
More than 100 different Alaskan communities participate in the games. Worrell says by offering a virtual coach training, he hopes to bring it to more places. So far, people from 6 different time zones across North America have registered for the training. Worrell says he's found coaching to be very rewarding.
You're providing support for youth and a healthy outlet for them. And it's also a way that keeps me involved with my community, keeps me healthy. We encourage it for anyone that may be interested to join us.
Registration will remain open until the day before each training session. The link to sign up is available on the Sea Alaska Heritage Facebook page. 2 psychiatrists who were fired from the Alaska Psychiatric Institute in 2018 have won their case in U.S. court against Mike Dunleavy and his former chief of staff, Tuckerman Babcock. Judge John Sedgwick ruled today that Dunleavy violated the First Amendment rights of state employees with what's been characterized as a political loyalty oath. Steve Kotef at the Alaska Civil Liberties Union was the lead attorney for the psychiatrists.
The court has corrected a problem that's been festering in this state government for the last 2.5 years. Now we know that the court has concluded that Governor Dunleavy and Tuckerman Babcock did violate the constitutional rights of all state employees that they asked to resign.
Just before he came into office, Dunleavy sent some 800 professional state employees a memo. If they wanted to keep their job, it said they had to submit their resignations and also send a letter expressing interest in serving the new governor. Doctors Anthony Blanford and John Belville, psychiatrists at the State Mental Hospital in Anchorage, refused. Babcock fired them on the governor's first day in office. Dunleavy and Babcock required not of high-level staffers, but of employees like state accountants, pharmacists, lawyers, and geologists. Judge Sedgwick ruled that Dunleavy's demand essentially required state employees to support the governor's political agenda. For employees who complied, he said it would serve as a warning that they'd lose their jobs if they engaged in activities that ran counter to the governor's politics. Cedric granted the psychiatrist's motion for summary judgment, meaning they won the case without having to go to trial. The governor's office did not respond to an email this afternoon about the case.